Hey, everybody. Good morning. We hope you're having an amazing morning. We're coming to you live from the Kayvon Studios on Gasser Drive, right across from the movies, right under Naked Wines, right down the street from Southside. And our wonderful host, Doris Gentry, wasn't able to be here today, so I'm filling in for her. And I am Julie Hamilton. It's so exciting to be here with you today. And we have a really exciting show with some amazing people. So I'm just thrilled to be here. So thank you for coming. So one of our first guests is Sonia Grabsky. So Sonia, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So tell us about yourself. Tell us what you do.
So I'm in the wine business. I've been in the wine business for about 20 years now. Every time I update my bio, I'm always like, wow, 20 years. It's been a really amazing career. And right now I am the general manager over at Trinitas Cellars and work with them and absolutely love my job. We've got a tasting room over by the Vista Colina Resort.
Yeah.
And I'm a mom. I've got a 7-year-old son who's absolutely phenomenal. His name is Leland and keeps me busy, very busy. Huge Peloton rider. I love to ride my bike.
I see the commercials for that all the time.
They are amazing. It's a good way to fill yourself up as a mom and take care of yourself. I do a lot of hiking and just really spend a lot of time just enjoying our community that we live in.
Okay. So, and then we also have our second guest is Mrs. Rose Abernathy. She is on Instagram. You probably know her as Dear Younger Self. She's just breezing in here. We're all living the mom life this morning, but we'll talk about that later.
A mom morning this morning. You're okay, girl. Take a breath. Take a deep breath.
Take a breath. You're okay. That's okay.
We're out.
Yes.
I'm here. You're here. I'm here.
Yeah. Tell us about you. Tell us about you.
Okay. So I'm Rose Abernathy. I've lived here in Napa for probably, oh my goodness, has it been almost 20 years?
What? Ooh. You're not even that old.
I know. It's so weird, huh? I'm only like 30.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, I'm 20 years here too. I can't believe we haven't met. I'm glad we solved this problem
today.
Okay, well,
here's the funny thing. We actually have, in a sense, but you don't realize it. So when Julie was like, hey, I want you to come on and just share, of course, you find out, you know, oh, who's coming on with you? And I got on your page and I was like, oh, I think we're neighbors.
What?
Are we neighbors?
I think that we live North Napa.
Yeah.
Over by Las Flores.
Yes.
In that area. Over by
Austin Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. So we're in the same neighborhood.
So your son, I've seen at Gymnastic Zone, which is now called Masquerade Sports. I've seen him there for like the mommy me or toddler.
When he was really little,
he was a baby.
Yeah.
And your husband used to bring him. And I loved him. So when I saw a picture of him, I went, wait a minute. I know that kid.
Oh.
I know that smile.
Wait,
He does have the best smile. So you guys are neighbors too. So yeah.
Well, hey.
Oh, good. We're going to be drinking wine soon.
Welcome, neighbors.
Good. Love it.
All right. So tell us about yourself, Rose. We were just asking. So Sonia was telling us about what she does, who she is. Tell us about you.
Okay, this dropped that hot.
So
when I came here to Napa, I'm originally from Fairfield. My husband and I had been married for a little handful of years, and we wanted to start a family here in Napa close to his family. My background was psychology, and I just kind of like weaved it into human resources because of the area and the industry that's here. So I kind of brought it into hotels and restaurants. And that's kind of what I did for like the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 years being here. And then all of a sudden the kids started coming. I don't know how that happened, but they did. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And
oh, mama.
The next thing I knew, I was a mommy of a moderate size family. And I loved it. I really loved it. Plugged into the family. That's actually how Julie and I met, is through our girls, because we homeschooled. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips to homeschool. Found out later. No, I'm just kidding. It was great. It was a great experience. But so that's kind of my culture, I guess, is being in the sector and working for hotels and restaurants and then pulling back and trying to just be more present with the family as more kids came, homeschooling. And then at some point, I would say maybe like 4 years ago, when my youngest hit school, actually he hit school like 3 years ago, I was just kind of like, okay, so he's going to be in school all day. Who am I? Like, yeah. What am I going to do? You know, I know what I do every day when I wake up. I have to wake up at like 5:30 or 6 and like get ahead of the kids, and you're putting them down at 9. And I'm just going to be honest with you. My kids go down at like 9 and 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Doris is probably like, Tis, you need to have a schedule. Because last time I was here, she's like, get those kids a bit early.
We talked about laundry. I think that's what the last time you're here.
I'm sorry.
Doris had so many tips on doing laundry.
I love you, Doris, but it did not work. Because we just got a new sectional, and it was like, ooh, more space for more hot laundry. Yeah, so I guess to answer your question, I'm trying to say is about 3 years ago when I sent my son to school, I was like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize that there were parts about me that I forgot about.
Yeah.
You just forget. You're just so busy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I like to write. That's right. I like to, I'm a people person. That's kind of what brought me into human resources. And I was like, I like to be with people. I like to encourage. So I just started a blog and just started writing. And I just got to it whenever I could, which is either early in the morning or late at night. And it's called Dear Younger Self.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started picturing myself talking to maybe my high school self or maybe my middle school self. And I can kind of switch.
Lessons that you wish you knew.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think they've got a great idea of who you guys are. I do want to ask you a silly question before we move on. And this is my silly question for the two powerful women in the room today. Here it is. If you were in a circus,
oh gosh,
what role would you be playing in the circus?
I think I would be, if I was fully trained, probably the trapeze person that's doing the flips in the air and flying. I think that would just be such an exhilarating feeling to be able to do something like that.
Do you like adrenaline?
I like adrenaline a little bit, yes.
Okay, it'd be fun, but you like fun.
I like fun, yes.
Nice.
Plus, I think you could wear cool costumes doing that, too.
So totally.
Lots
totally.
Of sparkles and rhinestones and the fun stuff.
Something nice and, yeah.
How about you, Rose?
Gosh, I'm gonna feel like a jerk saying this or like arrogant, but like I'm thinking of the movie The Greatest Showman,
uh-huh.
And I was thinking I loved that ringleader role of like of finding talent and connecting it with what it serves best and helping people just kind of like, I don't know, bring out their talent.
Yeah, so, I love
you
that.
Are a ringleader.
That's embarrassing. I want to be the ringleader.
Oh, no, I think.
I have one in the room.
I was like, well, I think they could both be ringmasters. I was thinking that myself.
A ringmaster, yeah.
How about you?
Oh, me. Oh, gosh. What would I be if I was in a circus? I do not know. Let's see.
I gotta think about it.
She's like, I came up with the question.
I'd probably want to be the ringmaster or, you know, somebody who does something fun and daring. Like, I don't do a lot of fun and daring things in my life, like throwing the fire. You know, they're like juggling. I don't know how to juggle at all, but they're juggling the pins on fire or something. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been to a circus, but there's fire involved, right?
They're typically.
I mean,
is.
If you have.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not the pins. It's like that baton thingy with the fire.
Okay, so juggling fire.
Maybe
batons.
Something like fun and exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like you would be the person that would like go up to the lions and like taunt them and make the crowd think that like they're going to eat you, but then they like turn over on their back and you like tickle their bellies or something.
Turn
and
it into
like,
puppies.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Well, I'm so glad you guys are here today because yesterday was something pretty exciting. It was International Women's Day. And I thought, how cool is that to really have a show celebrating women and how I hope that some of our listeners today are excited and encouraged. That I hope there's some moms out there listening that are going to be learning today a little bit about how successful women set themselves up for success because it doesn't just happen, right? Like, you don't just roll out of bed and then all all of a sudden, like, everything falls into place, and then you're like, yes, my life is so easy, right? That is not how it goes. You know, I look at Doris's life and how hard she works to be the successful woman that she is. It's inspiring. It's educating. She teaches me all the time about how intentional you have to be about serving, even like serving your community or whatever, wow. and being successful in that. So my question for you today, let's just start off talking about, why should we celebrate women? What do you think?
Why should we celebrate women? Because I'm going to come from a background of faith. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that each individual is fearfully and wonderfully made. But I do think that God purposefully made women and men different. Mm-hmm. And they have different roles. And I don't mean roles in your home. I mean roles in our society, community, yeah. our international, whatever, yeah. collective. But I think women in particular, I feel like when women learn something and when women get empowered by something, we're kind of incapable. I don't know. I just feel this way. I feel like we're incapable of just sitting on it. Mm. I feel like we're compelled to share it. I feel like we're compelled to. So when you give women power, you give them some insight, they're not just typically going to sit on it. They're going to take it back to their community. They're going to take it back to their home. They're going to take it back to their family.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
Really, really the family.
Totally.
I mean, and that's I think, an extension, because we see that as an extension of who we are. And I really do feel like that's innate. I think that falls under the umbrella of nurturing. I think nurturing is definitely a character strength that women have. I'm not saying that men don't have that.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely think that men have that as well. But like I said, I'm coming from a background of speaking.
We are the nurturers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are the moms, yeah. and we are the mothers. And, you know, we are the ones that take care of kind of the village around us and make sure that yeah. people are okay. And there's something about the yeah. way that we feel. We mm-hmm. feel things intuitively in a very different way than men do. And I think you're right. We are very different creatures.
We are.
And, you know, we're meant to complement each other. And I think women need to be celebrated for all the strengths, but all yeah. the softness that we have, too.
Come on.
And all the gentleness that we can bring into the world.
Yeah. Like, you're allowed to be also feminine, you know, and I don't want, and this isn't a show to bash men. We're not men bashing or mm-hmm. saying anything like that. But I think that it is okay to celebrate who women are. Because mm-hmm. they are special, and they, mm-hmm. women are just so unique. It's like, I just look at them like diamonds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's just something so special in everyone. And so let me ask you, I'm going to start with Sonia, but Sonia, is there any woman in your life that's really mm-hmm. been influential in creating who you are today?
So outside of my mom, who's the most amazing woman on the planet.
Props to mom.
Props to mom.
Always, always.
You know, I had the pleasure of going to work for a woman about 10 years ago, and everyone in this community knows her very well, Angelica Mayberry. And she is, you know, phenomenal. And not only did I get to work with her, but I got to become best friends with her as well. And she's one of these women that makes all the hard stuff look effortless. So while she has a house full of children and she's a CEO of a company and her husband's company is, you know, huge and busy and they're always going different directions, she makes it look effortless and she makes sure as a friend that she checks in on a regular basis.
Wow.
She's one of those people who, for me personally, will call me out on my BS, which is what I need. but she also is the person that will just give me a hug and say, you know what, you're allowed to hurt. You're allowed to feel whatever you're feeling.
Oh, wow.
And I think that that's really important. And then I've got one other woman who's been a best friend of mine named Sarah, and she lives up in Washington now. And even with the distance now, we've had 22 years of friendship. So there's knowing each other.
That's a long time.
We know each other. Actually, I think it's 24 now.
Wow.
It's actually 24. We know each other.
You're only 9, too.
I know, but we're 8. And to have those kind of women in your life who, I mean, I get chills just thinking about them right now.
Yes.
Is that they lift me up. They love me for who I am.
Come on.
And I can make a bad decision. They're going to look at me. They're going to shake their head. Girl, this isn't going to be good. But guess what? When I come back and go, you're right, I just get loved and not judged.
Wow.
And I think that that's so important. I think that's another thing about women, right? Like, we know how to love, and it's
good.
We're really self-actualized women. We're not judgy women.
Come on, wow. Come on. That's really, and that's a really huge distinction between that maturity and immaturity.
I love that you said that, loved and not judged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I really do feel like that's the definition of unconditional love, which, you know, we can all love up to a certain point, but I really do feel like that's the epitome of enduring love.
Yeah.
Is when you can love and put aside the initial judgment.
Yes.
That does come to your mind because you're human.
Yes.
And just be like, I'm not going to choose that. I'm going to choose just to love this person where they are at and let them figure it out.
Yeah, you do you, and I'm still going to love you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
How about
that's
you, Rose?
Really
was there
good.
Someone that you has been influential for you?
So when you ask that question, two people come to my mind, someone from my past and someone from my present. I'm going to try to keep it together here.
You don't have to keep it together.
I'm like, where's
the Kleenex?
I was thinking about it as I come here, and I was like, okay, whatever happens, you just need to like know
yes.
it's radio.
Because we love you and we don't judge you.
Well, you know, actually, I was being more shallow and thinking about these fake lashes and the eyeliner coming off.
Pretty,
anyways,
pretty good looking,
you're sweet. The first person is, her name is Margie Rose. I know you know.
Yeah.
And she is someone who I met at the church I was attending. She was a missionary from Romania. And what I loved about her, she was just this outside, fresh heart and spirit. Just new to the area and everything. I met them when they had just come, and she had, came to me, and we connected right away, and we just started spending time together, and she was just like always there to show me things that I couldn't see in myself.
Wow.
And I had a lot of trust there because she was from the outside. And she was just kind of coming in hot, coming in fresh. And she was just like, look, I see this in you. I see this in you. And I was like, wow, gosh, I really appreciate your words. And then
wow.
all the kids started coming. And she was just always there for me. And her voice and her message never changed, which was, God has a purpose for you here on earth. But he also created you with a personality and a character that is unique to other people's, and you need to accept that and embrace that uniqueness
mm-hmm.
and not try to conform it.
Wow.
And you need to figure out how that puzzle piece fits into the world, it fits into the universe, fits in, you know, into the community.
Yeah.
And God is so much bigger than just what you're seeing in front of you right now. So she
wow.
really gave me kind of just this world citizenship type of perspective. And it was just very different than any other voice that had ever spoken into my life.
Wow.
And then to take that and then add a plus sign, on the other side of the plus sign, I would say, I don't know if she'd even hear this, she's in Armenia. And her name is Arlene Hoffman. And here's the funny thing. I've never met her in the flesh.
Oh, wow.
Ever. But here is the power of social media and the internet and everything. We've connected. We've seen each other. We've done voice notes. And she just jumped on my Dear Younger Self page on Instagram and just took it upon herself to just start encouraging me. And she
wow.
was like, hey, I loved what you said. I saw a little light there. Have you thought about this? And so we just connected. And she was in town at the time going to church here. And we had talked about meeting. And she's just a free spirit. And she was just always out of country. And so right now she's in Armenia. But I was been going through some things. These past few months I've been kind of pulling back and just trying to figure out, you know, when I'm not, how do you say it? When I'm not performing the way that I want to in my family and in my individual endeavors, am I failing or is this what it's supposed to be?
Wow.
Is this purposeful?
Good question. Good
and
question.
I was kind of toiling with that, and she kind of came to me, gosh, I wish I could read it, but it would take too long. She sent me a message a couple days ago, and she said, I saw that you've kind of retreated back a little bit, but she said, I want you to know that your personality has purpose, and your service has purpose. And this is what she said to me, and this is why she's on the other side of my plus side. She goes, just don't give up, keep going, because you're meant to put post-it notes on people's hearts. Aww. And I was like, I just started bawling, and I was like,
you bring up such a valid point. I mean, when we go, and my innate fear is I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
I'm not doing enough for my family. I'm not doing enough for my friends. I'm not doing enough for my work, and I'm driven that way. That's just who I am. Mm-hmm. If you know the Enneagram, I'm a type 3, so that's just who I am. And so I'm driven that way, and so I have to stop sometimes and just retreat a little bit and go back and go, okay, everybody wants this of me. Yeah. But what do I need? What do I need?
Isn't that the million-dollar question?
Yeah. Mm. And I think, you know, I went through a pretty hard time last summer, and a good friend of mine that lives up in Oregon said to me, Sonia, you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
Mm, come on.
Because I kept going, I just need to take care of my son. I just need to take care of my job. Like, I just can't, like, cope.
And it was
just like, put the oxygen mask and take care of yourself. And I really just started making some major changes of like working out and meditating more and just trying to find more time to be present with myself.
Yes. Mm.
And what it's done is it's actually opened me up to be such a better person. I'm healthier, I'm happier. My mental like clarity is so much better. And so I think when you're saying, like, if you took a little time, I saw one of your Instagram posts, it's okay to take time.
Yeah.
It's okay. And it's okay to ask for help and have friends that will support you and know, she's a little quiet. You're lucky from across the world. You've got a friend like that. That's such a blessing.
That's amazing.
I was amazed.
Yeah.
And you just know the gems. And so I sent her a message and I said, oh my gosh, you don't even know how much strength and power that spoke into my life that you see me. That you see me. And I love what you said about, we go as moms and women in our homes, in our community. We go. One of the things that, and I don't know if she's listening or not, of course I'm not going to say her name, but I had another friend come to me and say, it's so interesting. She goes, and it was just recently, she goes, you know, Rose, you need to remember, and it's probably because she caught a little vibe from me that I was just kind of low a little bit, like, man, am I failing or what's going on? I'm just not where I want to be at this moment. And she goes, hey, you need to realize that as a woman and as a mom, you go, you do, you do for everyone in your family.
Yeah.
You do it by choice, but you do. And you get empty. So here's my question to you. You take care of everyone else. Who's taking care of you?
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
We need to stop and repeat that for every person listening and for ourselves sitting in the room. You take care of everyone else, but who is taking care of you? Because nobody's going to take care of you. They're not going to.
The oxygen mask goes on.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
You have to take time.
Wow.
You've got to take time for whatever physically, mentally clears you, takes care of your body to regroup and be a better person for everybody else.
So let me ask you guys, this is a great conversation because, you know, I've been on this journey as well and, you know, been finding myself like emotional eating for a long time, not taking good care of myself. And, you know, just recently you just come to the realization where you're like, nobody else is going to do this. It has to be me. And I have to take care of myself so that I can weather the storms or weather whatever I need to do. So I'm literally on that journey again. But let me ask you guys, how do you take care of yourself and set yourself up for success to care for the things you need to care for, Sonia?
So I used to do quite a bit of hiking. And then when I took this job last June, I actually bought myself the best gift ever, which was a Peloton bicycle.
I
love this thing. I ride 10 miles pretty much, you know, a day in the mornings.
Okay. So you get on this boring bike and you stare at the wall and you pedal. Tell me about it.
Everyone's seen the commercials now, but they're in a
different place right now in her life.
And I should be a commercial because I think I've had so many friends buy them after I started talking about them. I post on social media.
to take a home loan all the time now and buy two.
Okay, so it has live classes.
It's got
that you
live
go
classes
to?
Where people high five each other. You've got friends you can follow. They've got, you know, plenty of library classes, and it depends on the mood. I mean, I've got different instructors depending on the mood. So there's one person that always gets me laughing, and I can get through 45 minutes laughing hysterically at this person.
That's my
I'm
person.
Sweating when I'm done.
That is my
it's got
upset.
Great music, and I feel really good. I get off my bike. I feel super accomplished. I'm nice and sweaty, but I've also just got all these good endorphins going.
Oh, heck yeah.
And
yes.
So I'm like, great, right, I can go slay my day now. And it's got my non-negotiables is, you know, I ride 5 days a week if I'm not traveling at least.
Wow.
And on the weekends I do, you know, much
That's why you look
rides.
So amazing. You guys can't see her, but she looks pretty
She's
awesome.
Incredible. Okay. So now, okay, question about the Peloton, because I was just joking. Like, I have an idea of what it is, but I was just trying to get you to talk to about, you know, about it. Yeah. So I was just kidding. But my question is now, so is it like all of these other people are doing the class at the same time as you, or is it recorded and then you're
There's both.
Doing
so
the class?
Live, every live class gets recorded, so you can jump in and do live classes at any point in time, and then every class gets cataloged.
So
and
do they say like at 8 o'clock we're going to ride?
Yeah, there's this ride. So like Sundays, you know, there was a ride that I loved. It was Sundays with Love, and it was this very spiritual, church-based, faith-based, gospel kind of love, you know, ride. And the messages were always really phenomenal. And so, you know, finding these different rides, and there was this Thursday night, you know, kind of start the weekend early club ride. And so you just find that it makes you happy. And I was never a person that liked biking.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my ex-husband actually was a huge bike rider, and he thinks it's crazy that I went and bought a stationary bike and that I'm riding. But my little son loves to ride. So now we're riding back and forth to Yountville. And so, you know, it's like for me, I'm in much better shape to be a boy mom because my child is rough and tumble. And so for me, it was about taking care of myself so I can, you know, once again, be the good mom and be physically fit and be able to chase this child around.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do is, you know, I do a lot of kind of meditation and stretching, yoga, that kind of stuff, just to balance myself out.
And so just like to go back, sorry, one more question about the Peloton. It has a screen
so
on it,
like,
right? It has
a screen.
Screen
in front of your face. So it's a huge like television screen.
You're
so
watching
you're
the
watching,
class.
Yeah, you're watching the class and the music, and you usually like there's a live studio that they film out in New York, and so there's other people around the structure. Too.
Okay.
So it's like a big deal if you go to the live studio. And they do cool things. Like you get badges for your 100th ride. And a lot of people will go, you know, for milestone rides, go to one of the stores. And the stores will do balloons and a swag bag and cupcakes and champagne after you get done with your ride.
Wow.
So it's really cool. There's good stories. And it's just
the
like you'll
community.
See someone like, oh, they're celebrating their 1,000th ride or their 7,000th ride. And you're like, whoa.
Wow.
Like, I got goals. I feel good. I hit 150 recently.
Yeah,
but I can't wait to hit that.
You should feel good about that. 150 is amazing. But
so, yeah. So everyone knows I'm just like, yeah, once you get the Kool-Aid, you're on it.
Yeah,
so
the other day you're like, well, I rode 17 miles on my Peloton this morning. I was like, dang.
I think that's going to end up being my future here.
You think
point.
So?
Probably.
You like the idea?
You can come check mine out.
Well, ooh.
Yeah, come check it out.
We're there neighbors. You go.
What's up?
You said that the exercise, like first thing in the morning, helps you, and then sort of meditation and yoga and stilling your mind and preparing your heart for the coming day really helps you set up for success.
Yeah.
So, Rose, when we were talking about self-care, and so what do you do to take care of yourself to set you up for success?
So it's funny because I had a couple things going on in my head when you were talking about cycling. And I wanted to say real quickly, just because I love them dearly, but I've got some friends who have a business here, Cycle Society Napa, invited me, and I need to get there. And they're on 1300 First Street, Suite 2.
I've been seeing all their social media posts.
41. Yeah. Have you seen them? So they're friends of mine, and I need to get my butt there. I told him I was scared of them, but
I'm scared too. I've never done a spin class. I'm like,
y'all
oh my
scare
gosh.
Me, man. Shoot,
I'll go with you, ladies.
Y'all scare me, but I'll go. I do love to dance, and that's why I think of my friend Alex Bleston, who owns Dance House here in Napa, and my girls have gone there, and he has the Midas touch. Whatever you need. He knows how to refine things.
Wow.
He's an amazing soul. But basically what I do in the mornings is I really do have to make sure that I'm up before the kids. I've learned that if I'm getting up with my kids, the five at home, It's basically you're kind of jumping into
a three-ring circus.
There you go. You've got to jump in. You got to figure it out. And the hamster wheel is rolling. So that's one thing. I get up before. I give myself an hour before.
Wow.
And then that's when I... And I don't go through my my phone because I'm trying to get bombarded by information, like adulting stuff.
Yeah.
I go through my phone and I'm like, okay, I usually through the week save, like screenshot or save things that I wanted to listen to or to read,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So you get bombarded with all kinds of different information from different social media platforms or the internet. That's kind of how I roll. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to Jay Shetty's podcast mm-hmm. on this. I'm going to listen to Mel Robbins' little segment on this. And I cram it all in.
Oh.
I will also read my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Music then seeps in, and music is my love language.
Yes.
And it's anywhere from classical to 90s R&B to current rap music. But I just cram it all in that hour, and I make sure that I'm feeding myself the best way that I can.
Wow.
To focus. So we have news, we have the coronavirus, we have all this stuff, and pandemonium and paranoia can set in.
Yes.
But how much time are we controlling of our day where we're focusing in on finding the positivity, the optimism, and the hope?
Wow.
And I feel like, and the kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
like
I know
purposely
that.
With intention.
With intention.
We are
and you and I talked about this. These are just, you and I have like a million, Julie, ideas of things we wanted to do. One of the things was just how can we intentionally and purposefully focus on the kindness that mm-hmm. is going, the compassion that's going on around us in the community. And I feel like when you cultivate and you do stuff like that for yourself, you set yourself up to be grateful and to be appreciative and to be thankful. And it's like, that's where I want to stay.
Yes.
Because everything else is going to seep in, and kids are going to get sick, and there's going to be problems at work.
Your car keys are going to get hidden.
This morning, I'm like, really, kids? Really? I remember someone saying, I'm going to go to the other car and see if my backpack's in there. And then as I'm leaving to get here on time, I realize they never gave them back to me.
Oh.
So I'm running around going, oh my gosh, I suck. I'm so lame. I'm going to be late.
You touched on something that's been a huge theme for me for the last few months, but that grateful thing, right? And I was actually down at a conference in Southern California a few weeks ago and watched a room full of executives all end up in tears.
Mm.
And it was such a great exercise. And I've been sharing it with lots of people, but this guy came in and he just said, you know, just start, talk to your partner and say, you know, today, I have to wake up. I got to get my kid to school. I got to go to work. I got to check emails. I got to do this. Now reframe it. I get to wake up.
Yes.
I get
it's
to
a
get
one
my
word
beautiful
switch.
Child to school. I get to brush my teeth because I have running water. How cool
is
that? I get to.
Perspective.
And like when you start doing that and saying, okay, it's going to be a long week. No, I get to go work. I get to solve problems. I get to work with amazing people.
Come on.
I get to.
And I think
I
it's such
that.
Like a good thing to think about. Yeah. Whenever I now start shifting to this, like, oh, my life's so hard. I have so much to do. And then, no, I get so much to do.
I have the opportunity.
And my life is so rich, and I live in a beautiful, amazing place. And there are so many people who would kill to change places. Like, literally, just want to change places. And so I needed to just be happy with what I inherently have right now, because there's no other moment than this moment. I have what I have right now, to be grateful for that.
Yes, come on. Well, we're here in the studio.
Wow.
We're going to finish this conversation, but
that
we're here in the studio with Sonia Grabsky from Trinitas Sellers. She's the general manager over there rocking that role. And we have Rose Abernethy over here, who is rocking the role of being a mom of five and doing her social media influencer thing over here. And really, I mean, influencing people around the world with your social media. I see it all the time. time. And I see what you're doing, and it's pretty amazing. And so I thought it was a great combination because we have a mom of five who's working from home, and we have Sonia, who is an executive, is a single mom with a little cute little guy that's seven. And, you know, we each have our own ways of seeing the world and our own ways of seeing what's important. But what I really like about these two people is that they have healthy ways of seeing the world, and they're intentional about the way that they're doing it. And so one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys is, you know, what do you think is the biggest hurdle that many women are facing today to overcome that will, if they could overcome this hurdle, they could be everything that they're actually meant to be, but there's some hurdle in the way keeping them from getting there. And what do you think that could be for women in general?
I don't know about you, but go ahead.
I think it's self-love.
Oh,
I think
wow.
that when you don't, I'm going to get emotional in this
one. Yes.
When you don't
Girl,
love
you got
yourself,
a box of Scotty's Kleenex.
It's really hard. I spent a few years where I didn't love myself. And I look back at pictures of myself 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm such a different woman now. Mm. And when people look at me now and they come like, oh, I haven't seen you. What's happened? What's changed? Mm. And I was like, I did the work. And I started learning to love myself. I surrounded myself with people who are positive, loving, careful, you know, caring, and that lift me up. And I got rid of all the people who tore me down and held me back.
Wow.
And so I think if you can't be happy and you can't get over all those hurdles, if you don't actually take time to truly love yourself and be kind to yourself. And I think that when I know women that are hurting and they're seeing stuff, they're not giving themselves the time once again to either put the oxygen mask on, take care of themselves, or just doing the daily task and not giving themselves an hour in the morning. That's self-love right there.
Yep.
And if you're not giving yourself that, then you're not going to win.
The thing is, we can't have compassion for other people when we don't have compassion for ourselves. We can't love other people well if we don't love ourselves well. And I think sometimes we just see, in women as general, we see ourselves as unlovable. And whether it's somebody is very poor at loving, and then so it's their problem, but you take it on as I'm unlovable, or whether it's, you know, you had a very critical parent who, you know, taught you all the wrong things about yourself, and you have a hard time overcoming that inner critic to love yourself, accept yourself, find yourself, and realize that, hey, you know what? I am lovable, and I am loved, and I'm seen and heard and understood. Like, I think you're right. That is a huge, huge hurdle, because we can't be everything that we're meant to be until we actually love ourselves and appreciate ourselves.
So you have to understand really kind of who you are and what drives you. I think doing the Enneagram work really helped for me, because I really...
What did you say?
The Enneagram work.
Enneagram. Have you done Enneagram yet?
No.
So there's just basically, there's 9 different personality types.
Personality test.
Yeah, your person. It's a very in-depth one. Lots of churches, lots of huge organizations
do it. I feel like
I'm
an ENFP. Does that make sense? Or
that's
am I a different
for my Briggs.
It's a similar thing.
No, it's good.
So I realized kind of who I am, and I started doing like all these podcasts, really understanding like it comes down to kind of what your childhood thing is. Like you grew up, and my thing is, you know, and you know, no fault really in my parents, because my parents are my parents and they're both amazing people.
Sure.
But I just always had this, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing good enough, I need to work harder, I need to do more. And that's driven me, and now I know how to balance that. I was very healthy in it now.
Yes.
Now I'm going to be healthy in that and use it to my advantage. And so I think, you know, it's really understanding who you are to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
And how you pick the people
I love that.
Around you.
So the Myers-Briggs, which is the one that you referenced, Myers-Briggs has the 4 letters, and it's introvert, extrovert. That tells you how you do something. How you operate in the world.
How you operate.
But the Enneagram, if you guys ever want to look it up, it's ENNEA and then Graham, GRAM. What it tells you is what's your motivation. So, and I love the Enneagram because it is on a sliding scale. So there's a scale for every number from healthy to unhealthy. And so you can always find yourself somewhere along that scale. So for instance, you know, I'm a 9. So a 9 on the Enneagram is that my main motivation is to avoid conflict, right? But if I'm a healthy place, then I move to a three, which is what Sonia is, which is that I'm working hard and I'm doing well and I'm, you know, achieving my goals. And then, but it has also a scale of the unhealthy way that you kind of like sink into yourself, you know? So I love that. It has a variation. You should take it. I think you would be
I'm going to take it today.
Podcast about how you connect in people. So it's like, how does a 3 and a 9 relate when you're healthy or unhealthy? How does that relate in friendships? How does it relate to work? And it's really, it's fascinating.
It
I was at dinner, you know, 2 years ago, sitting down at actually Monticello Winery, and everybody at the table knew their number.
You're
and so
kidding.
It's amazing.
It's really phenomenal conversation.
I feel left out.
So
I'm going to get you on the train.
Yeah, the Crosswalk Church here in town, Pastor Key did like a whole 12-week series, and while I'm not a member there, I actually got kind of introduced to the podcast, and it was really phenomenal for me. I was like, oh, this is an interesting journey. And I've actually kind of been back off of it now. I think I've got to start digging back into it.
It just sounds like a useful resource.
Oh, it's a great tool. Yeah. I just interviewed on my own podcast, Life Builders by Julie Hamilton. I just interviewed a lady who has done executive coaching for Disney for 20-something years. And she's using the Enneagram to pull teams together. Her name is Tracy Smith. And she's using the Enneagram to help teams like learn how to work well together dig in deep on their motivations. And it was just fascinating to talk to her about that, you know, so it's a great tool. But I forgot,
oh, what was the question?
The question I was going to ask
you
it's just rabbit trails, but good rabbit trails.
No, this is
I'm
good.
I'm happy rabbit trails. But my question is, what do you think, Rose, like one of the main hurdles that women have to overcome to be everything that they're meant to be?
It's interesting. I love how unique and different we all are, because I loved Sonia's response. It really educated me. What's stuck in my mind is history, fear, and the ability to take who you are and marry it to what your purpose is. And to answer the question, it would be to get yourself to understand that. So the history is just in understanding the history of women. And we're talking about women, right?
Yeah, it's Women's History Month, actually, March.
And I don't mean just the past generation of what your mom passed down to you. I'm talking about you know, women of the 20th century. Let's just go back to the women of the Bible, whatever, how far your history can go, and trying to really understand really the seeds inside of those roles. And one of the things I've been able to take away from my journey to where I am right now is I am so okay, I'm so confident, and I feel so good about being the role in my family where I'm nurturing my family.
Nice.
Where I'm setting the tone, I'm setting the temperature of the atmosphere. I know that my family looks to me for that. So in saying that, I'm also okay with embracing, if mama's okay, we're all okay. Right? But if mama ain't okay, y'all got problems. You better find somewhere to hide. You better hide your kids and hide your wife.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Seriously, it's just something I've embraced. They look to me for that. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. And I feel confident in that. So that's the history aspect of it. And there's more that goes with that. But the second one would be fear. From jumping from that platform of history, I feel like I have needed to learn to take a greater courage in finding out what my role is as a woman and a Black woman here today in Napa, in Napa County, in Northern California. I know, you know, however far out you want to send it. What is my role? And my brain, the way my brain works is, how can I impact? How can I make a difference? How can I influence from where I am right now? And that's going to look different than the women of the past. It just is, because we're in a different time right now. We just are. Our culture is different. So what does that mean for me today? And I need to have the courage to be able to step out and be like, I'm open to some new interpretations. I'm open to new influences. I'm open to new perspectives on how I can impact my community, my family,
yes.
and people around me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other one was. Oh, and then just marrying, really being cognizant and aware of what is your personality? What is your character? It is unique. You are rare. You are us three women in here. You guys are awesome. We're all three different people.
Yes, yeah.
And I love that.
Yes.
We're rare. So how do we take that and marry it to our purpose? And then that's how we all collectively come together as women. And we generate a power that is just
phenomenal,
unmeasurable. It's what makes women yeah. so unique. And again, this isn't about men bashing. We're just, we can have a channel about them and I will happily come.
Exactly.
Exactly.
About fear, and that really resonated with me because I think that that's one of those things, that is one of those things that holds me back personally. It's like, oh, should I take this next job? Can mm-hmm. I do this? Mm-hmm. Should I, you know, make this life-changing plan or do, you know, veer to the left versus sticking to the right? And I'll sit there and I'll contemplate it. And most of the times when I've jumped off that cliff, what I have found is that there's actually a whole bunch of pillows down underneath me waiting
wow.
for me. And it's not nearly as scary, bad, or ugly as
wow.
I think. And so I think fear does hold a lot of people back.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you just have to be willing to, like, open the doors and the windows and just push through and make that change. If it's something you feel like you should do and it's holding you back, sometimes that's the thing that you should push through.
That
if
is...
it scares you, you should probably do it.
Because fear's a liar, you know?
Right.
It's trying to inform you on something that hasn't even occurred.
Right. And that's the thing. I remember one time somebody told me this about fear, and I thought it was so good. It's that, you know, your brain can't formulate all the things ahead of you because you haven't seen it yet. We can only formulate what we're losing. Like, we can only, you know, see it in our mind, what we're losing and what we have, but we can't fathom all of the possibilities that lay ahead of us. And that's why it's so scary, because we can't calculate it. You know, you just have to take the leap of faith sometimes, and then it turns out like way better than you ever even imagined. And, you know, I think that's so important. So, okay, so you guys, I'm just like was laughing when you were talking, Rose. I was just staring at you, smiling. I'm like,
you
we need to do a conference.
I was like, she is like cheesing at me. I love this girl so much.
No, it's because I was just sitting there listening. Like, we need to do a conference. We need to have. We need to be talking about this. And I could just see you like being a speaker at some women's conference or something. You know, standing up there, and I'm like, we should work on that. We should all work on that together.
I'm in.
I think the man, you know, like pay it forward, and you know, give.
Okay, can I just say something about that?
Yes.
I just listened to a podcast this morning about that. And that's another thing I think that feeds into the purpose is, oh gosh, I don't want to lose this thought on radio. Okay, so I was thinking about my whole purpose and thing. And I was thinking what's important is whatever it is you've learned, here's another point. Okay, I got it. Whew, not embarrassed anymore. Whatever it is you've learned in the past, and we talked about people that we have been heavily influenced in our lives. When you've learned something from the past, it really is your job to take that and pay it forward.
Yes.
You have to take that and you have to purposefully implement that into someone else's life, even if it's just one person. That you're injecting that into someone's life, you've done your job. You took something someone told you or shared with you or demonstrated to you and impacted you. Now you have to take that and you have to inject that into someone else, even if one person.
Yeah.
And then your job is done. I mean, it'd be great if it's more, but it can multiply. And you have to do that with every lesson that you have.
Amen.
Every lesson you have.
Come on.
So even if you like get the toddler and go, sit down, I got something to tell you, you know, and she's like, I'm hungry.
Find people who gravitate to you too, that they want some kind of knowledge or gift that you can give them. Because what we have is we have gifts and we need to be able to pay those forwards. And I've got several friends that I've made in the last couple of years that, you know, would not maybe necessarily be like, oh, why is that person? Like, how are you guys such good friends? But it's that soul. Mm-hmm. And when you find those soulful people and you can trade back and forth that energy. It's really important. And then for me, within my working world, that's my job, is to basically teach as much as I can so I can work myself out of my job.
Yes.
And, you know, then move on to my next thing. And so yeah. I love nothing more than building people up within my profession and within my friends. And I think it's so important to be able to give.
To give, yeah.
I love it. I feel like, yeah.
Well, here's what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to talk and I'm going to let you think, because here's what I'm going to ask you to do, something a little unconventional. We usually end with final thoughts, but I'm going to give you each 2 minutes. And I want you to formulate what you would say to that mom out there, that woman out there that's feeling like she's not enough. She's feeling like maybe she's failed. Maybe she's going through some pain. She's having a hard time. And you're sitting across with her, you know, you're knee to knee, sitting in front of her. And I want you to just think about what you would say to her. You're going to have 2 minutes. I'm going to talk about something else for a second while you think. I can see the thinking caps going on here, but I know. But listen, guys, thank you for tuning in today. And don't forget, we're not ending yet, but don't forget to tune in on Wednesday night. We're having a fantastic TV show. Doris Gentry is the host. I'm the co-host. We would love for you to join us every second and fourth Wednesday. You know, we're on TV live and it's a lot of fun. So this Wednesday we are having, from Napa Christian, they just had what was called a STREAM Fair. So it's like STEM, which is science, technology, and math, but they also added robotics, reading, and arts. And this had the most coolest things. One guy made something called Sweat Flicks, and they hooked up a bike to a TV, and you had to ride the bike to watch TV, and it was a lot of fun.
There
was
inventions.
Yeah, it was so super cool. But they're going to be bringing their projects, their inventions. Some people made instruments. Other people were blowing smoke rings with like trash cans. I don't know. But anyway, tune in. It's going to be from 8 to 9 live on Wednesday. This Wednesday, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, we are live from 8 to 9 o'clock. So I hope you'll join us. That is on Napa Valley TV, which is Comcast Channel 28 and UVerse Channel 99, or you can always watch online at Napa Valley TV. Okay, so we're winding down. I'm going to give you each your 2 minutes. You're talking to the woman out there who is feeling alone. She feels like she's not doing good enough and not doing well, and she needs some encouragement. So I don't know, Rose, you look like you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm just looking at you like, girl, you just dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me.
Okay.
All right, I'll go.
Okay, you ready? I'm going to show you my timer. So
Lord have mercy.
You got it. 1, 2, 3, go ahead.
So this is what I want to tell you, mom out there, young mom, older mom, doesn't matter how old you are, but you're at home and you feel weary, tired, alone, maybe lost, maybe unmotivated. I want you to know, first of all, that you are not alone. You may not get out of your house much. You may have spit up on your shirt and coffee and peanut butter under your fingernails, and you haven't showered in 4 or 5 days. But let me tell you, there are so many other women out there who are will and are ready to connect with you at some point.
Yes.
You just figure out how to get that shower, and you wipe your tears off, and you just hold your head up, because this is why you hold your head up, because you are created rare. You are rare. If you don't have to have a faith to know that every person here has uniqueness in their fingerprints and in their eyes and in their color, you are fearfully, wonderfully made. You have so much uniqueness to offer this world. But right now in your season of life, you don't see the growth and the strength that you're creating underneath the current, but you are building legacies. If you have children, you are building legacies. You are building families. If you have 2 kids, you're going to be influencing the future, 2 families. Know that the work that you're doing is important, and nothing that you do is wasted. The tears aren't wasted. The laughter is not wasted. You have work to do, so you just find your joy and where you're at right now and your gratefulness, and know that there are big things ahead of you in the future, and we're waiting for you. We're waiting for your uniqueness and your rareness. You are loved.
Woo! That was beautiful. Yes. I know somebody out there received that. I know somebody got that word. That's good, good, good. All right. So, Sonia, are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Your 2 minutes starts now.
So, I'm not just going to address the mom out there. I think I'm just women as a whole. So, whether you're the woman who's had your fifth fertility treatment fail, or you just got hurt in a relationship, or you feel like you're failing as a mom because you just don't have enough time to balance your day, the number one thing, you are enough. You are enough, and you are loved, and you are where you're meant to be on your journey. I mean, everything that we do, we're actually meant to be here in this moment present. Learn to take time for yourself, that hour in the morning, that extra hour at night, a walk. Make sure that you're filling your cup up for yourself. It's so important, that self-care. Learn when to say no. Learn when to say no. That word is not a bad word. It's not a dirty word. It's not an ugly word. No is so important. I was really bad at saying no for a long time. And I say no a lot more. It's not a hard no sometimes. It's a soft no sometimes. But there, if I don't want to do it, it doesn't feel right for who I am as a human being, or it's going to make my life harder, or my family's life harder, I don't do it. Learn when to simplify your life. I think it's so important. We take on so many tasks and we juggle things. It's okay if you get a cleaning lady to come in every couple weeks. It's totally fine. Don't feel like you're failing. I think after my husband and I split up, like, I tried to prove myself for a year that I wanted to do lawn. I'm like, no, now I got a gardener. it's worth the $60 a month for me on that one. So, one of the things, meal prepping, I want to eat healthy. It's really important for me. I don't have time. So I've got a great old employee of mine that I go to now, and she delivers food. She delivered food to my front door this morning. And so I've got healthy lunches for the week. Build a tribe. Build a support network. People love you. It's so important, especially if you're a mom and you need to drop a kid off or have someone pick a kid up. And then don't be afraid to ask for help. I think as women, we think that we are seen as weak when we ask for help, and it's okay. It's okay to call up a friend and be like, I am failing today. I've got baby spit up on me. I just don't feel like I can do it. Can you come over and help me with my laundry, or just give me a glass of wine and give me a talk? Give me a pep talk. I think that's so important. But you know what? You got this. We have this, and you've got women around you who should support you. And if you don't have the right women, go find those women.
Come on. Man. Amen. And if you have wine, make sure it's Trinitas Cellars, right?
Yes.
I got to go get some.
I should have brought wine for this one.
Thank you.
If it was an afternoon podcast, I would have brought wine.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I set the timer because it never went off.
It did go off.
Oh, it did. Oh, okay. Oh, fantastic.
But
you guys,
it was wonderful.
Thank you so much for all the encouragement, all you poured out today. Our fantastic guests, Sonia Grabsky, Rose Abernathy. If you see them, follow them, do whatever,
hook up with them.
These are amazing. Amazing ladies. Yes, yes. You guys are going to
lie. I can talk for 2 more hours.
I know.
We're going to get cut off right now.
All right. We will talk to you later. Come back next week, Monday, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I think we are having Belia Ramos, who just won supervisor in American Canyon District. So we are so excited to have her on the show next week. We're looking forward to it. All right. See you then. Bye.